Well, here in Spain, from Levin's Franks, it's my turn to share the knowledge of Cathal Rochford. How are you doing, Cathal?
I'm good, Howard. How are you doing?
I'm very well, keeping myself busy. Perhaps something we've been thankful for, or perhaps not so much. People are living longer these days, which sounds like good news. But the question is, can we and the state afford it? So today, Cathal and I are going to look at the financial implications of longevity and what steps we can take now to ensure our money lasts as long as we do. So, can we start by looking at the big picture? What impact does longevity have on the state's finances?
Yes, indeed. Thanks to medical advances and over the years and a better quality of life, people are certainly living generally longer nowadays than previous generations. And it has become more and more common to hear that people are reaching their 100th birthday. So living to a ripe old age does sound rather appealing, provided we're healthy enough. There are, however, implications at both personal and government levels, with the key issue being, can we afford it? The longer we live, the longer we need our savings to last in order to live as comfortably as we are used to. And for peace of mind, it's crucial to assess whether your resources are on track to last throughout your lifetime. Rising life expectancy is also expensive for governments. The higher the proportion of older people in a population, the greater costs of services like state pensions and healthcare, and the lower the number of taxpayers that can fund it, of course. This dynamic will certainly put governments in a challenging position for the future.
Government finances have been hard hit over the last few years, with the pandemic swiftly followed by the inflation and energy crisis. So how are our governments going to pay for all of this?
Yes, a good question. The solution usually lies in pension or healthcare reforms and tax increase to finance these escalating expenses. The issue has been exacerbated over recent years with the amount of money governments have had to spend as a result of COVID. Higher taxation can be a considerable threat to your financial security in retirement. Just like inflation, it erodes your income. To answer the question, though, there are two ways that governments can fund itself, through taxation or through borrowing. And it looks like there's been a preference for the latter in recent years. Increasing taxation is politically unfavourable, and it puts the government at a risk of losing votes or even losing power. As economies are relatively strong today in terms of metrics like full employment or stable growth, some governments are still looking at tax cuts rather than tax increases, ironically. This is at a time when many of the world's richest countries have amassed very large debts, with debt to GDP, GDPs exceeding 100% and running large fiscal deficits year after year. It begs the question, if the world economy does enter a recession at some point, tax revenues will inevitably fall, spending will have to increase, and this problem would get further exacerbated. It would seem that governments are gravitating towards the second option, which is increased borrowing and increasing their money supplies to cover these expenses. And this can be highly inflationary, which was evidenced during the COVID pandemic. Monetary inflation is an indirect stealth tax that is most often caused by increasing money supply. And rather than being an obvious deduction from your personal wallets like a tax would be, inflation leads to a reduction in people's spending power. So this does warrant some vigilance as to how we can protect our hard-earned wealth in this inflationary environment.
What's your advice to retired expatriates? How should they protect themselves from higher taxes?
Yes, the answer is quite simple, really. It's important to do the planning. We plan for many things in life. We take out insurance, we save money for a rainy day or for retirement. We plan where we want to live or move to. And we must not leave our taxes unplanned, as taxation can be a major erosive factor on one's finances if it's left unchecked. Income from work, salaries, pensions will be subject to income tax, of course, and there's not much we can do about that to reduce these forms of taxation. However, much can be done with respect to investments, capital gains, wealth, succession taxes, and inheritance taxes. And at or nearing retirement, this is a crucial part of the planning and presents a major opportunity to reduce these various layers of taxation, which can be considerable. Implementing a strategic plan to reduce these taxes will make a substantial difference in your annual tax liabilities and the amount of wealth you can retain throughout your lifetime and what will pass down to your family and beneficiaries in the future. So this is really where personalized tax planning is vital to make use of the available opportunities in Spain, the UK or elsewhere to ensure that you're not paying more tax than is necessary.
Moving on to inflation. The longer we live, the longer we need our savings to last, so inflation must be a big concern here. But inflation has improved since a year or two ago, but do we still need to worry about it?
Indeed. The levels we saw in 2022 were certainly an eye-opener on how it can impact our monthly living costs and our bills when we go to the grocery store. But even though inflation will hopefully come down, we're in a disinflationary trend. Even low levels of inflation that compounded year after year will reduce how far a fixed income will stretch in the future. For example, if you today spend 5,000 euros a month, assuming an inflation rate of 3% per year, in 10 years' time, you would need over 6,700 euros a month to maintain the same spending, or 9,000 euros in 20 years' time. So your capital and income would need to grow by the same amount as the inflation rate to maintain the same standard of living or what you can buy, for example, in the shop in the future. So I would say we don't necessarily need to worry about inflation, but we certainly need to plan for and mitigate the longer term effects of inflation. This can be achieved through, strategic wealth planning and asset positioning to ensure that your assets are positioned that they will, at least keep up with inflation, but even better would be to outpace inflation for the future.
Many retired people favour low-risk, supposedly safer investments like bank deposits. But could being so very cautious backfire?
Yes, it could. You're right. Many retirees favour low-risk or perceived to be safer investments like bank deposits in their later years. But with potentially 30 years or more to fund one's retirement, this can be actually a risky strategy, ironically. By following some key investment principles and taking specialist guidance, you can invest capital to give it the opportunity to keep pace with inflation while keeping risk to a comfortable level. I think it's important to start by establishing your risk profile and then carefully build a well-diversified investment portfolio to suit your circumstances, need, and objectives. So being too cautious or remaining in cash throughout your lifetime can indeed backfire, and it could lead to your money running out before your lifetime. I mean, if we look at a chart that I read from a newspaper a couple of months back, it showed that if you look at the real value of a pound over the last 40 years, if you left, if you say just retained a pound coin, it has fallen from a pound to about 30 pence, which is a 70% fall if you just kept your money in cash. On the other hand, if you put your money in UK residential property, your pound would have risen to about £3.60. Or if you had invested in a global equity fund, your pound would have risen over the 40-year period from £1 to just under £9, or 9 times return on your money. So I think when you zoom out and take the longer-term view, it can show you that, it's very important to hold investable assets which will protect and preserve your value over time. And you don't want to be looking back after a 40-year period and seeing that, the value of your money's lost 70%.
So what steps can we take to beat inflation but without taking on too much risk?
Yes, in my opinion, I think, financial education, gaining longer-term financial or investment experience, and of course, even better, we'll be speaking with professional experts in this field is key. It's important to zoom out and take the longer-term perspective. If we zoom out and take the longer-term view, taking on market risk will invariably yield better returns than leaving your money in the bank, which I alluded to in the previous example. We know that volatility smoothens out over time, and market drawdowns are less common than market rises, and markets tend to rise about 75% of the time. So it's been proven overall that time in the market rather than trying to time the market yields the best results over time, and you'll benefit from compounding growth. As Einstein would say, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. So I think the trade-off really is that cash is stable day to day, but loses value consistently over time due to the debasing effects of inflation. On the other hand, an investment portfolio can be volatile in the near term, but has proven to grow one's wealth after inflation consistently over the longer term. And not holding investment assets can actually be a major risk to one's long-term financial health versus holding, investment assets. So I think having a low time preference with capital planning, we must think longer term, prioritize the future, and ignore the daily noise of markets. So think in years rather than days or weeks. Oftentimes we have clients who wish to sell their investments when markets are getting choppy, and we're there to guide and provide structure and discipline so that they stay the course, essentially. And we've seen time and time again that this proves to be the right strategy, and markets always recover. So in summary, I think holding scarcer, desirable, investable assets to protect your buying power over time is the key. Assets like stocks and shares, property, or, you know, a well-managed, diversified portfolio of investable assets that matches your risk profile, I think is the best approach.
Well, our pensions are obviously important for our financial security. Should we review our pensions to see if we can improve our income, but without risking our capital?
Absolutely. Yeah. Pensions tend to be the foundation of one's retirement. So deciding what to do here is a very important financial decision. You may have built up a pension since early in your career, and it's grown considerably over the decade. So it can often represent a sizable part of one's estate. So getting the planning done right is critical. So you'll need to consider your options, carefully weighing the pros and cons, look at your income needs, investment options, risk, currency risk, and what happens to the pension when you pass away. So I think regular reviews are very important. It's important to review your pension at least once a year and to rebalance it. And I think, you know, as asset values can change and rise and fall, your portfolio can shift away from your initial risk profile. So yeah, it's important to make adjustments now and then. You know, you should also, of course, consider if any of your personal or life circumstances have changed and the implications this has on your pension portfolio. So I think regular reviews are certainly very important. And the fact that a pension tends to be a very long-term investment, you know, asset means that it's very important to review often and make sure that you have the investment strategy right.
Do you have any other advice on protecting our savings and income for the long term?
Yes, I would say, and what I generally tell my clients is that to ensure that you've accounted for some of the main risks that face our wealth. And these risks, which we've touched upon a few of them, is tax, ensuring that you have a tax compliant and tax efficient structure to enable compounding growth and not have taxation as a constraint or taxation to erode your returns each year. We also must plan that, you know, the structure you have can optimize for estate taxes and inheritance taxes, which can be as high as 40%. The other factor, I guess, would be investor protection. Ensure your capital is held in the safest structure, the safest jurisdiction available, and mitigate the risk of having your capital be at risk of, you know, insolvency or on the balance sheet of a bank or financial institution, which could fail during, say, a financial crisis. So you want to make sure that you have the highest level and your assets aren't at risk of any financial crisis, for example. And then finally, it's important that you actually achieve real growth and income on your capital. Ensure the capital is held in a you know, managed portfolio of investment assets that will grow and enhance and maintain your purchasing power over time. So you want to at least, again, outpace inflation. I think if you achieve these three goals within your financial planning, you'll be on the right track and you can ensure your capital is working for you and will support your future and be protected and safe. I mean, ideally, we'd recommend speak to an experienced, qualified advisor. And, you know, initial consultation is usually complimentary and it's well worth an hour of your time. And you know, this should offer peace of mind that your tax and wider financial affairs are properly planned and best positioned for your future.
Now, there's offices all over Spain, and especially in the areas where there's expats living. And they're all listed on the Blevins-Franks website at blevinsfranks.com.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, we've got offices all across our regions. Our offices tend to be in nice sunny locations. So, we live in the same areas where our clients are based. So, yeah, we're always very happy to speak with people who are looking to, you know, get help or need advice on these areas. So I'd encourage anybody to get in touch via the website or give us a call at your nearby Blevins Franks office. And we're always happy to have a cup of coffee and have a chat and see how we can assist you.
Many thanks, Cathal. We'll talk in a few weeks' time.
Thank you very much, Howard. I look forward to it.